Dear congregation, if you turn again, please, to Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. And we want to conclude this afternoon our short series of sermons on the life and ministry of Samson. And we can read again here verses 19. She, that's Delilah, made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. Then also verse 22, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again. And then lastly in verse 30, Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Samson, the Nazarite unto God from his mother's womb. That uncut hair that he had, telling us that this is a man who is God's man. This is a man under authority to God. This is a man who's doing God's work. Now, Samson was a saint, and Samson was a sinner. And you know that at various points, probably in each sermon, we've tried to defend Samson. We think that often the characterization of him goes too far and only sees the negative. Hebrews 11, we've said, tells us that Samson was a man of faith. That means he was united to Jesus Christ. That means he was born again. That means he was saved by the Lord Jesus. He was a saint. But he was also, as all the saints in this life are, he was a sinner. He had faults. And it's in this chapter particularly that the faults of Samson come to the fore. But we also find this in chapter 16 of Judges. We find the truth of what Hebrews 12 verse 6 tells us, that whoever the Lord loves, he chastens. And the emphasis there in Hebrews 12 ought to be on the word love. Whoever the Lord loves, he chastens. The fact that you see Samson with such a severe chastening or discipline in this chapter is not an evidence that Samson is not a converted man. Actually, it's an evidence that he is. Because Hebrews 12 goes on and says, if you are without chastisement or fatherly discipline, whereof everyone in the family of God are partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? It's in that light we should read Judges chapter 16. But Samson's strength then, as we've seen, is symbolized in his uncut hair. That was the sign or the picture of his strength. And what I want to do here from the verses especially that we read, looking at the whole narrative, it is to follow Samson's hair. First of all, we see, or we have, Samson's hair being cut. Then we have his hair growing again. And then we have his hair fully grown. So his hair cut, his hair growing again, and his hair fully grown. So first of all, Samson's hair being cut. Since his childhood, Samson's hair had never been cut. And he has these, as this chapter tells us, these seven locks of hair. That number seven, the number of perfection, speaking of the sevenfold Spirit of God, as you read about in Revelation 1, this is a picture of his strength. And as Daniel 11:32 says, so it's true of Samson. The people that know their God, they will be strong and they will do exploits or great things. And that was Samson. That was his strength. Not his muscle, not his frame, but the fact that he was a man who knew his God. And with that strength, with his own bare hands, he killed 30 men in Ashkelon. With that strength, he slew the lion. With that strength, he killed the 1,000 of the Philistine soldiers with the jawbone of a donkey. But you look at the end of chapter 15 and you look at the end of chapter 16 and you see that these chapters end the same way. Both these chapters tell us that Samson judged Israel for 20 years. And what's good to remember then is what we have in Judges is simply a record of some isolated accounts, that there was this 20 years of judging Israel. And the presumption is that it's 20 years of faithful judging. That the people here, in order for Samson to be their judge, that the people have accepted him. It seems to me, at least, that after the battle, as we saw last time at Lehi, the battle where he slays 1,000 men with the jawbone, that the people of Israel accept him as their judge, and therefore we read that he judges Israel for 20 years. Well, that seems to bracket what happens in chapter 16, and no doubt about it, in the first part of chapter 16, things are not good. But let's remember the whole picture. This is a man who judged Israel for 20 years. But here at the beginning of chapter 16, without any question, things have gone wrong. Verse 1 tells us that Samson went to Gaza, he saw a harlot, and he went in unto her. And you remember, don't you, the solemn warning at the end of Proverbs 7. At the end of Proverbs 7, at verse 25, we're told, do not let your heart, speaking about the harlot, do not let your heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she has cast down many wounded. Yes, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. And so you come and you look at Samson here, and you have to say, already in verse 1, spiritually, his hair is already being cut. It's really a solemn thought to look at Samson here. Samson, at the beginning here, still has the gift of his strength. And it's a solemn thing to think about, that you can have a gift and you can still be able to exercise a gift, and yet spiritually you can be far off from God. So Samson here at the beginning of this chapter, we find what at this point seems very familiar to us. Samson's in danger. The Philistines learn he's in Gaza. They set an ambush for him. This is familiar, that there's danger in Samson's life. He has these enemies around him. They set an ambush for him. And you look at verse 3 and you say, well, nothing's changed. Here goes Samson again with his supernatural strength. He picks up the incredibly large gates of Gaza, a bar and all, the whole thing, and he carries them for kilometer after kilometer after kilometer up to the hill in Hebron, or Ahil in Hebron. This is an awesome supernatural display of strength, and you would say, nothing's changed. This is Samson. This is who he is. But there's something critically different. There's something that's missing. Here, for the first time, there is no reference to the Spirit of God moving him. And that's significant because every other victory we read about the Spirit of God coming upon him. Here we don't read that at all. All we read is that he goes in to a harlot. So here's a backslider. And backsliding, dear friends, is a danger. It's a danger for those who have a gift for ministry. That can be preaching. That can be praying. That can be witnessing to others. You can do all these things. You can do all these things well. You can do all these things successfully in the eyes of others, and yet, imperceptibly, you have drifted and you have backslidden from God. It can appear that you're still strong when you're not. And then there's no surprise in this chapter to find for Samson, things go from bad to worse. That's always the way that sin works. Unless the Lord stops you in a path of sin, Proverbs 7, verse 27 tells us of the harlot, as we read, her house is the way to hell, or the grave, going down to the chambers of death. That's where sin leads. Make no mistake about it, that is where sin leads. And as the Puritan John Owen said, there's two options. One, you are killing sin. Or two, it is killing you. And there's no other option. Either we are fighting, by the grace of God, we are crucifying and killing sin, or it is killing us. That's why the Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, verse 29 said, if your right eye offends you, what do you do with it? You pluck it out. If your right eye is causing you to sin, pluck it out. Take radical, drastic, immediate measures to pluck out whatever is causing you to sin. Pluck it out, and then it says, for it is better that one of your members perish rather than that your whole body be cast into hell. Now, isn't that an interesting thing to think as we look at Samson? Samson sees a harlot and goes in unto her. His right eye, his left eye, both offend and cause him to sin. But what's the Lord doing to Samson in this chapter as he disciplines him? He's plucking out his eyes. Because it's better for Samson to have his eyes out rather than to go on in this course of sin. Well, there's this whole account with Delilah, and we don't have time to look at all the details, but let's just notice a few things. We're told that that Delilah is someone that Samson loved. And by the way, we're not told that she's a harlot. I think some people assume that. We're not told that here. Nor are we told that this is a Philistine. This is somebody from the valley of Zorek, which is on the border between Philistia and Dan. But anyway, this is not a lover. This is a seducer. And she's bribed with a huge sum of money to find the secret of Samson's strength. And so what she does is, this is the way I think we're to read this whole account, she plays a game with Samson. Samson, you tell me the secret of your strength. And so he tells her, and she shouts out to him in the game, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he breaks it, and then she knows he's lying. And this happens three times, and then she weeps, she vexes him, and she says, how can you love me? And she wears him down until eventually he gives her the secret of his strength. In verse 17, there has not come a razor upon my head. But by the way, you see in this game that they're playing how that Samson is getting closer and closer to his hair each time. And he says, there's not a razor that's come upon my head. I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I will be weak like any other man. We've seen this already. The Philistines play games with the gospel when they hear the riddle. And here Samson is beginning to play games. You don't play games with sin. Sin will always kill you when you play games with it. You can't control sin. You can't contain it. You can't say that you're the master of it and you're in control of it. It's not possible. It's stronger than you. It will always bring you down. And so Samson, we find, don't we, in this chapter, sleeping a lot. Each game that they play, each time they play the game, he falls asleep on her lap. And really, that's a clue. It's a picture of his spiritual condition. Here is a man who's asleep. Here is a man who is no longer watching and praying lest he enter into temptation. And so this time, the fourth time, his hair is cut. And Delilah calls out like she does before. She plays the game again. The Philistines are upon you, Samson. But this time, the sinking, the horrendous realization comes upon Samson. This is not a game. This is not a game. This time the Philistines run in. And Samson is unable to loose himself. His hair has been cut. And these incredibly sad words at the end of verse 20, he knew not that the Lord was departed from him. We said backsliding happens slowly, imperceptibly, little by little, to the person who's sleeping. He knew not that the Lord had departed from him. And the Philistines take him, and they put out his eyes, the eyes that were the inlet to sin at the beginning of the chapter. And they bring him back to where he was at the beginning of the chapter, back to Gaza, but this time to the prison, where he's bound and he grinds in the prison. Now, what you need to see here is that Samson had lost his strength before he had lost his hair. He had lost his sight before he had lost his eyes. And he does this donkey work, to be perfectly honest. He grinds for them. My dear friend, that is always what sin will do to you. Whatever it promises, this is what it will always do to you. It will bring you down. It will blind you. It will bind you. It will mock you. It will demean you. How did Samson fall? Because he had lost sight of God. Now, what does the backslider need to do? What does he need to do to have his hair grow again? Well, he has to retrace his steps. He has to go back and retrace his steps. And no doubt as Samson grinds in the prison, he retraces his steps and he realizes, I've had pride. I've boasted in my own strength. And I've also had presumption, these two great enemies of the soul, pride and presumption. Presumption in verse 20, I will go out as at other times. I've done this before, I'm going to do it again. God helped me in the past, he's going to help me again. I will go out as at other times before and I will shake myself. But he doesn't know that the Lord has left him because God will not be mocked. Children, there's a story of a snake handler. This is a man who could tell a snake what to do, and the snake, this anaconda, would even wrap itself. The man could get the snake to wrap itself around him, and then he could whistle or do something, and the snake would unravel itself, and people would see this, and people would pay to see this. And something like 20 years later, the man does the same thing again. He's always done it time after time after time. But this time, the snake doesn't listen and it crushes him. And that's sin. You play games with it for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, but eventually it will crush you and it will bite. So you need to retrace your steps when you realize you have backslidden. So let's look here, secondly, at Samson's hair growing again. It really is such a sad picture of Israel's champion, isn't it? Grinding, doing the work of the Philistines. But in the prison, here is Samson seeing again. He sees God again. This is his real sight. Faith, Hebrews 11 tells us, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that you can't see with your physical eyes, the evidence of things not seen, the evidence of things not seen. Faith gives you real sight because you begin to see God. And what does Samson see in this prison? Yes, he sees God. He sees now that it is an evil and a bitter and a hard thing to sin against God. And Samson begins to feel things in the prison. He feels sorrow for his sin. He feels disgusted at his own behavior, but he also feels his hair growing again. Verse 22, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again. Now, in telling, I mean, of course hair grows again. When you cut your hair grows. This seems to be telling us, as Matthew Henry tells us, that it's more than just the normal growing again of the hair. There's not that much time between Samson in prison and Samson being paraded in Dagon's palace. And so in this short space of time, Matthew Henry suggests, I think very reasonably, that the hair supernaturally grows quickly. He feels it. This isn't what I expect. There's something coming again here quickly, and the hair is growing again. And it's telling Samson, God is a God of mercy. God is a God who still has work for me to do. And it tells Samson, who is sorry for his sin, who is seeking God now, who is waiting on God, what does it tell him? What happens to a person who waits on their God? You know the verse at the end of Isaiah 40, verse 31? They that wait upon the Lord, though they're in a prison without their eyes, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The hair of his head began to grow again. And this is pointing us to his real strength. Delilah never found out his real strength. She got to the symbol. She got to the sign. She never got to the real secret of his strength, nor did the Philistines. Samson on his knees. Samson weak in himself. Samson just like any other man in himself. Samson dependent upon his God. There is a strong man. There is a man who can see. There is the true Nazarite. And so the commentator Andrew Fawcett writes, the strength Samson lost by sin, he recovers by prayer. And my dear friend, the strength you lose because of sin, you can recover by going to the Lord in prayer. Here is Samson now away from wine. People suggest from this chapter, Samson has gone to wine as well in the way he sleeps and other things. Well, okay. But here is Samson certainly away from wine. Here is Samson with his hair growing again. Here is Samson who realizes, God has not forsaken me. I forsook him. I departed from him. But he never forsook me. I took my eyes off him. He never took his eyes off me. I was unfaithful to his covenant. He was never unfaithful to me. This is what Samson sees in the prison. If we believe not, as Paul writes to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. And so here is the hair growing again. My dear friend, if you find yourself this afternoon having imperceptibly slidden back from from where you were, slidden into sins that you never thought you would find yourself in. There is a way back to God. There is a way back to God. Hosea chapter 14, O Israel. Isn't this what Samson sees? O Israel, return unto the Lord your God, for you have fallen by your iniquity. Take with you words. So pray, take with you words, and turn to the Lord. That's repentance. And say unto the Lord, he gives you the words to say. Say unto the Lord, take with you words, and say unto him, Lord, take away all iniquity. And receive us graciously. Grace is what I need. Receive us graciously, and so we will render the calves of our lips. Now listen, Asher shall not save us. The strength of Assyria. We're not looking there, because that's not where our strength is. Asher does not save us. We will not ride upon horses. That's not the strength for the battle. It's not the strength of our armies. It's not our horses. That's not where the strength is. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands. That's not where the strength is. It's not the work that I do in my own strength. That's not what we're to say. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands. You are our gods. But this is what we're going to say. For in thee, O Lord, the fatherless find mercy. And God says immediately, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away from him. Samson's hair growing again. Let's lastly here see Samson's hair fully grown. This is Samson in his real spiritual strength, with the symbol, but with the reality as well. So here you have this national celebration in Gaza. They're triumphing. They've won. Dagon won at last. Dagon proved at last that he was the real God, and he triumphed over Jehovah, the God of the Israelites. Dagon is the one who has done all this. Dagon, the God of fertility. Dagon, the God of reproduction. And so they sacrifice to him. They celebrate to him. They thank Dagon. They praise Dagon. And you see how the lords of the Philistines, verse 23, they lead the way. They're first. Our God, they say, has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And then the people, in the next verse, verse 24, the people follow, they join in, and the people, they see Samson, and they praise their God too, and they say the same thing. Our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our country, who slew many of us. Oh, what an affront to the God of heaven. The God who looks down from heaven and says, you shall have no other gods before my face. And here is Samson, the Lord's anointed, the Nazarite unto God Jehovah from his youth, but now with his hair grown again. And they bring him out, verse 25, and they mock him. They play games with him. That's what they do. They've been playing games this whole, in all these chapters, and they're still going to play games. When their hearts were merry, verse 25, they call for Samson that he may make us sport, they say. And you can only imagine the horrendous things they would do. They would make Samson. You have here Samson paraded. And they would make him dance to their music. And he'd jump and he'd fall down and they'd roar with laughter and they'd do it again, dance again, he falls again, they roar with laughter again. They're mocking him as they parade God's anointed. They're humiliating him, making a fool out of him, out of God's anointed. Samson is paraded. But Samson is praying. Verse 28, Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee. Here is the Nazarite on his knees spiritually praying. This only once, he says, strengthen me only once more that I may avenge the Philistines. A man who's so weak, so helpless, being carried around by a young lad, but a man pleading the help and the strength of his God. Oh, Lord, remember your covenant, your name, your glory once more. Now, he's not praying here for, this is not personal, individual vengeance. He's praying as the Messiah, as the anointed of God, as the judge of Israel. And so after he's paraded, he prays, and then he pushes. Verse 30. Samson said, let me die with the Philistines, and he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were. And you can hear the laughter. You can hear the celebration. You can hear the mocking. Do it again. Make him dance again. Make him fall over again. You can hear them triumphing. Dagon has won. Dagon has won. And as they triumph, and as they laugh, and as they mock, and as they say, peace and safety, suddenly destruction comes. Proverbs 29, verse 1. They who, being often reproved, as they were, still harden their necks, they will suddenly be destroyed and without any remedy. And so as they laugh and as they feast and as they worship their false god, as they defy the gods of heaven, suddenly the two large pillars that are holding up this whole building begin to creak and begin to crack and begin to crumble, and the whole building falls on them. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands and cast their cords from us. But he that sits in heaven laughs last. He will laugh, and he will have them in derision. He will speak to them in his wrath. Samson's paraded. Samson prays, Samson pushes, Samson prevails. Samson wins. Samson prevails in his death. The middle of verse 30, so the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. He was a great deliverer in his life, but he was a greater deliverer in his death. This is not suicide. This is sacrifice. He is giving his life to deliver the people of God. And remember Hebrews 11, verse 13, these all died in faith. Samson died in faith. Well, what a picture of Christ, the greater than Samson. He was betrayed by those he loved, betrayed with a kiss, betrayed for a huge sum of money. He was arrested. He was taken from prison and from judgment. He was accused, even though he could say that he had done no sin. He was accused, even though he never backslid. He never lost sight of God. He was accused, though he never played games with the gospel. He was mocked and paraded. He was blindfolded, so he couldn't see, and then they hit him and they said, prophesy. Who smote you? They played games with him. And then he was paraded on a cross between two thieves, and they sing songs. The drunkards sing the songs about him. You saved others, but you can't save yourself. Let us see if Elijah will come and save him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him if he really is the Son of God. He's paraded, but isn't he a man of prayer? Doesn't Hebrews 5:7 tell us that he was heard because he feared? He prayed and he was heard by God. He was crucified in weakness. And yet there was strength there with his two outstretched arms. The one who is paraded, the one who is praying, is the one who pushes. With the two outstretched arms nailed to that tree, he pushes. And he pulls down not just Dagon's temple, but every part of Satan's kingdom falls and crashes to the ground. And he crushes that serpent on the head. And he spoils principalities with his power. And he makes a show of them openly. And he triumphs over them. The one paraded is the one who prays. The one who prays is the one who pushes with his strength. And he, my dear friends, the greater than Samson, is the one who prevails. Christ wins. Christ has won. Remember when he dies that there's this great earthquake. And the rocks rent and the graves opened and people rise from the dead. It's telling you Christ has won. Death has no power. Death has been destroyed. And isn't it true of Christ? He saves more in his death than he did in his life. Lazarus came forth from the dead in the life of Christ. But every sinner united to Jesus Christ will come forth from the grave on that last day. Because of his death. Oh, what a greater than Samson is here in the gospel. You're weak today, aren't you? Well, here is a living Samson. A living Samson who gives you honey in the gospel of his grace. A living Samson who is victorious in his death and in his resurrection. Thank God. Thank God for Jesus Christ, the greater than Samson, who is here. Amen. Let's pray.